What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
All right. Welcome back, FSM.
This is Hunter. Welcome back, and Caroline. And we are back with part two of this podcast on love. If you haven't listened to part one yet, please go back and listen to it. We answer the questions, how important is love and what is true love? We have one more question to answer today, and then we're going to go through some practicals. But we'll start with the third question. Hunter?
Yeah. So question three, it's a big one, right?
Yeah.
It carries off these first two, but it's, how does love actually relate to God? So we've looked at how important love is from culture and scripture. We've looked at like maybe a definition from both, you know, scripture telling us that love is very selfless, but the world telling us that love is selfish. And so how does love actually relate to God? So you've been rolling. Why don't you keep it going for us?
Yeah. So how does love relate to God? Well, God is love. If we look at 1 John 4, 7 through 8, I'll read it. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And so everything we need to know about love, real biblical love, the way that God designed it, can be found in the person and example of God. God is love. When we worship him as God and get to know him, we become more like him in the way that we do everything for his glory, and everything is for his glory.
That's awesome. So God is love. And I'll take this next part on how does the world answer this question?
Okay.
And there's a subtle shift, but it's actually huge. So scripture says God is love, but the world says love is God. And when I say that, I'm talking about little g God, that love is what we should worship.
Almost love, like an idol in our lives.
Absolutely. It's what's ultimate, right? And so therefore, if you stop loving something or someone, it's okay to let that go, right? You don't like the school that you're at or the playing time that you're getting on your team? Sweet, just transfer, right? You don't love the girls in your cell group or the guys in your cell group? Great, get a new cell group, right? You stop having feelings for that person? Break up with them, right? You don't like your job? Quit. You don't really love your parents anymore? Just put up with them for a few more years till you can go to college and then be done with it, right? And even in dating relationships, at any point before marriage, you get to just say, I'm done, right? Whenever your needs aren't being met, you can get out. And I think scripture actually gives us a warning about this type of mindset and really allowing our hearts and love to be ultimate, right? So Jeremiah 17:9, let me give you a couple, says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Right, Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our hearts actually follow the things of this world, right? Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say trust in your heart with all the Lord, and do not lean on your own understanding. So what does your heart say? Well, my heart says find the most beautiful girl I can find, right? Find the picture perfect marriage. But we so overvalue looks, physical attraction, and other qualities. And I am not saying go find the ugliest human being you can find and date them, okay? I obviously did not do that. My wife is gorgeous. I would assume Matt is a gorgeous human being as well.
He's a gorgeous man.
Yes, yes. I will go on record to say, Matt, you are gorgeous. What I'm saying is this. There's something more important than that kind of stuff, than following the desires of our heart or our eyes, right? Something that your heart may not naturally desire would be true beauty in a relationship with Jesus. Because like we just saw, like our heart is deceitful.
Yeah.
But when we really think about, man, what really matters, it's someone who knows Jesus and learns to love and live selflessly and intentionally in the way that he did and the way that he does. So be careful following your heart.
Yeah, for sure. So I think one of the biggest influences in our lives, I know especially for me, that pushes us towards the selfish idea of love is social media.
Yes,
I think totally. Social media does way more harm than it does good. I know even now I can get on social media and look through hundreds of stories, people talking about themselves and really just like driving up the feeling of comparison in my life and insecurity mm-hmm. in my life, not feeling like I'm good enough, or just seeing people talking about just cutting people out of your life, doing what's best for you, serving what is best for you. And I'm probably running the risk of sounding like a huge buzzkill, but I don't really care because this is something that I've had to learn the hard way. And we've bought into this lie that we need this stuff, that we need social media, that this is the only way to stay connected with people. This is the only way to show your true authentic self. And it's the only way to stay relevant in a part of people's lives that will be forgotten if we get rid of this stuff, or if we aren't even on it as much as we are.
Totally. Yeah. I had a conversation with a parent, FSM parent, this last year. And one of our policies, you know, for going to Colorado is we don't want kids to have phones on the bus because we want them to interact and disconnect and all that. And like this, he called me and he said, "So what in the world is my daughter supposed to do for 12 hours without her phone?" And I'm like, man, that is kind of that's a great example of unfortunately this lie that we bought into, that to be relevant, to have anything to do, you actually need this small pocket device to be able to be connected. You don't have Instagram, you're a loser, right? Yeah. You don't have Snapchat or TikTok, you're going to fall behind socially. No TikTok, are you even a real human?
No.
If you don't have it, right?
I'm kidding.
But I mean, that's what we can unfortunately and even unintentionally believe.
I mean, especially when we're stuck at home for hours. I mean, you're stuck at home all day, 24/7. I can't imagine what our screen times are looking like right now and how much time we're spending just zoned out in front of our phones. So when it comes to love, social media typically only shows one side of relationships. That perception is everything. We're trained to have unrealistic expectations of our partner. People only post the highlights and the good things. Obviously, I'm not going to post intimate details of me and my husband's conflict in private life to all of the people that follow me. I'm going to post wedding pictures. I'm going to post fun, exciting things that we're doing. And I'm not going to post all of the hard things that we can go through. Now, just part of being a human. We'll also say whatever we have to in order to get the most comments and response, mm-hmm. and maybe have the funniest caption.
Yeah. And if we don't get the level of comments and response we thought we would, we'll just delete it.
Yeah, either delete it or sit and stare at that picture and say, do I look ugly in this? Right. Like, what's wrong with this? Did I not do something good enough? Boundaries are just gone on this app. And if friends post something without us, it destroys us. We have FOMO. We feel like we have been ostracized and excommunicated from the group, or the number of likes shows us our value. Lower likes means maybe we should break up with our significant other, stop being friends with that person, or people don't like us being friends.
Yeah. And I think, let me add something to that, because I think what you're explaining is that, you know, we can kind of judge our relationship status, you know, if we're dating a guy or a girl, based on what people think about it or say about it on social media.
Yeah.
And what we're doing in that is we're saying, like, we don't want boring relationships.
Yeah.
We want something that is going to get likes. And actually, and let me explain this.
Okay.
Boring is better. Okay.
Okay.
Which I know you're probably like,
yeah, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, no, it's not. Like, I want something exciting. Well, crazy, interesting, social media worthy relationships get your attention because they're volatile and they're unrealistic, right?
Yeah.
Joe Exotic, the Bachelor.
What a guy.
Yeah, Carol Baskin, wherever you're at. Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, any reality show, the reason we watch it is because, like, people are crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what gets our attention. Someone serving their spouse by washing dishes does not get likes.
Yeah.
Right? That's considered boring. But trust me, if you're looking for the type of relationship that is glorified by the internet, it's going to lead either to a really bad breakup or a life of idolizing people's perception of you. And both are going to end miserably, just in different ways.
Yeah. I think we also develop unrealistic expectations on what we're even supposed to physically look like too. Mm-hmm. Like, so much comparison is bred on social media, like we've been talking about, that not only what our relationships look like to others, but what even we physically look like and what our home looks like and what our pet looks like. And we think that that validation from people on social media will make us whole and make us feel loved.
Yeah. And I think, like we've seen, you can fabricate chemistry between a young man and a young woman on social media by the things that you post. So, like, girls, right? If you want to get an attention from a guy, unfortunately, the quickest way to do it would be to post a picture that reveals more of yourself, right?
Yeah.
Because any young man with hormones in a phone is going to be attracted to a girl's bikini picture.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if a guy starts liking you and messaging you and talking to you because of your lack of clothing, like, expect him to want it off of you more often.
Yeah.
Just being very forward.
Yeah.
Like, he is showing you what the foundation of your relationship will be. And so you can't take these social media interactions as truth, yeah, right? And not all social media posts are bad, right? Social media, though, has trained us to glorify the good and to hide the bad.
For sure. And it's okay to post the good things. It's right. Okay to post the highlights. But we oftentimes manipulate the system to get what we need for fulfillment. Or we choose to be vulnerable about certain things on social media in order to appear real, in quotation marks. But we're not going...
They saw you do the quotation marks.
Yeah. I did do the quotation marks.
Yeah, they saw.
With my hands.
Yeah.
But we're not going to our community or people in our cell groups. Mm. We're not going to real faces and talking through those things on a deeper level in order to heal through God, through his word, through prayer, and the accountability of the body of Christ, which is that's where real and true healing is found.
That's so good. One more thing on social media before we move on from this.
And then we'll stop just completely.
Yeah, bashing.
Rapping on social media.
It sounds like we don't like it. We actually do in a way. But it just has so many issues. And I think one of the biggest issues when it comes to dating that social media has kind of ingrained in us is it produces in us choice anxiety. Have you ever, you know what choice anxiety is?
I actually don't.
Okay, so
because I have constant anxiety. Yeah, yeah.
So that's so good. So what choice anxiety is if you've ever been to shop for something, right? And you see hundreds of options versus seeing two or three options, mm-hmm. It is really hard to purchase something when there are so many options, yeah, right? Because you get this anxiety from so many choices.
Yeah.
And so what companies do to be really smart is they don't give you unlimited choices. They pick a couple of their best products and put them out there.
Yeah.
One of the best examples I could give you of that we probably all understand is Netflix, right? Yeah. How many times have we gone to watch Netflix and we don't watch anything for the first 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Because we're literally scrolling through every category, looking through all the different genres and trying to find what is the best thing that I could watch right now. Because we are terrified of wasting an hour of our lives, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to click a show that we might actually not enjoy because there was a better show out there. And so we end up just scrolling and have this anxiety of what should I choose? Now, when you put that up against the backdrop of choosing a spouse, choosing for marriage, think about the choice anxiety that can come from not potentially wasting an hour of your life, but committing to something for your whole life. Like,
yeah,
how in the world do you know if that person is best?
Yeah.
What if there's someone else out there, right? What if someone better looking ends up liking me, but I've already committed to this person?
Yeah.
And this social media influence on us has just taught us to look for all of the best things in everyone. And it produces in us that we have this ideal of a person we should look for that has all these best qualities. And that person most likely does not exist.
Yeah.
The person who's literally A+ in every single category. But internets.
The internets.
Yeah. Internet and social media has increased our options, right? And I think people are afraid to settle. You know,
yeah.
I was talking to one of our old high school boys. He's now in college, but he came back because of quarantine. And I saw him working at Lowe's, and it was his first day. I was like, bro, what's up? He's like, yo, his first day on the job. I was like, sweet. So I texted him the next day. I was like, so how was the first day on the job? He goes, oh, I quit. I was like, really? He goes, yeah. Got a call from Target, and I get to work there now for $15 an hour. I'm like, okay, that actually makes sense because
yeah,
someone offered him a better option than what he had. And I think that happens with us in relationships, right? And let me burst that bubble for you. Okay, guess what?
What?
Perfect. There.
What?
If you're always looking for someone who's the prettiest, the most successful, going to make you the happiest, whatever, there will always be someone prettier than them.
Yeah.
There will always be someone who makes more money than them. There will always be someone who is taller than them. My wife wanted someone who was tall, dark, and handsome, okay? How many of those three did she get? Zero, okay? Literally none. There's always someone who is funnier. There's always someone who is fill in the blank, okay? And so we have to learn that the truth about love isn't that we have to settle as Christians. It's that we have to choose. Okay, let me explain that. I don't know if Alex is actually the one for me. And that might really offend every young woman listening. Like, how could he say that she's not the one?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is that I think there are plenty of women, and this is going to sound really prideful, okay? I think there are plenty of women that I could have been compatible with.
You should have gone on The Bachelor.
Yeah, I mean, golly, why didn't they invite me on there? But there are plenty of options that I probably could have married, but I chose Alex.
Yeah.
Right? And even more incredible, she chose me. Why? Yeah. I still don't know. It's one of the mysteries I want to ask the Lord one day. But I didn't settle. I didn't do anything. But I looked at all the other options and said, for me, this is the one that I choose to love because of who she is and because who God has created her to be. But social media programs us not to choose, but to actually wait on that perfect, all-American, got everything together, going to ride into the sunset, perfect life, happy wife, happy life. And until you're able to find that, what it tells us is go ahead and sleep around and enjoy the process.
Yeah, that's really true. And so we have to be aware, how are the things we look at, listen to, watch, indulge in, how are these things changing the way that we look for love? Love is not God. It is not an idol that we have in our lives, but God is love. And we follow him and we obey what the Bible says, because his way is what is going to bring us the most joy and the most fulfillment.
Yeah, that's good. Now, before we come off as like over-spiritualizing everything, right? That true love is only found in God and that kind of thing. Like, that's not exactly what we're saying. We're not saying that love between humans doesn't exist, right? Do you love your husband?
Not when he dumps out my oat milk. I'm just kidding.
I feel like some counseling is needed over here for this oat milk
stuff. No, we worked through it. We worked through it. Yes, I love my husband.
Awesome. Well, so what we're saying is that, you know, it's about priority. If you really want to experience fulfillment and love in this world, you have to first experience the love of God, or you will constantly be trying to fill a hole in your life that cannot be filled, or trying to put love and relationships on a throne in your life that they don't fit on, that's only meant for the throne of Jesus. And so for the ladies out there listening, I want you to know this. There is nothing wrong with your desire to want to be loved, okay? Hear me. If you're listening and you're going like, I just want to be loved. I want someone to care for me. I want someone to stand up for me. I want someone to say like, she's mine. And I want to know that I'm beautiful and enough for someone. I want to be comfortable around someone. I want to know someone's heart. I want someone to know my heart. That is all valid.
Yeah. Okay.
You were designed by God very intentionally, tenderly, with a beauty that brightens this world in a way that no man ever could.
Yeah.
But, and this is a big but, okay? Real big but right here. Can I say big but a third time? If you're wanting all that comfort and satisfaction from a high school boy, good luck. Okay?
Yeah.
You're just not going to find it. Now, and we have incredible guys in FSM, right? But they still cannot do it. That fulfillment and desire that you're looking for can only first be found in Jesus. And you may date a great guy. He may treat you right. Y'all get married, have a dog, 2.5 kids with a white picket fence on 2 acres, and you will never be satisfied without experiencing the love of the Father.
Yeah. And fellas.
Speak to the boys. Speak to them, Caroline.
All right, dudes. I'm going to speak to you for a second. Some of y'all really do want to take care of a girl. Someone to spoil, maybe take on surprise dates.
Mm.
Someone who makes your heart skip a beat every time you look at her. Someone who you can care for and who makes you feel like a man. If you desire that, no worries. You're human. But if that's where your identity and reputation, satisfaction, and fulfillment comes from, you're going to take advantage of her. You'll want more. You'll push physical boundaries. She might not meet these expectations that you have in your head that you haven't voiced, and you'll become controlling or apathetic. Your desire to feel like a man can only come from a relationship with your good and heavenly Father and not from a woman.
That's so true, right? And so I think the natural inclination after a conversation like this, for those listening, might be to take these concepts we've talked about and just go immediately put them into practice, right? To step into your local high school, if we were meeting. So, which is not happening.
Your virtual Zoom classroom.
Yeah, to call that girl on FaceTime and boldly declare your sacrificial love for your woman. I would like to tell you, girl, that I love you, right? probably not the next steps that we should take, right?
Yeah, probably not.
Luckily for us in this season, like even promposals, like those aren't a thing, right? Are we missing a year of promposals?
I saw a couple.
You did?
That were like in the midst of quarantine before prom got canceled. And
oh,
I was like,
those poor people.
I got bad news for you.
Yeah, rip.
It's not going to happen.
2020, right? But here's what we want you to know. Like, don't learn to love through a dating relationship. That should not be where you practice learning to love someone, right?
Date Jesus.
Yeah, go on a date with Jesus. He's the best
Jesus
boyfriend
is my
ever.
Boyfriend.
Yeah. But for real, like doing that is like stepping into the nicest car you've ever seen, because those dating intimate relationships like are precious. And so when you step into that, having never driven before, like it could end in a really bad crash.
Yeah.
All right. And so learning to love looks like learning to love your friends well with sacrificial and selfless love. Ladies, learning to love your fathers well and being loved by your fathers. Fellas, learning to love your mom well, right?
Yeah.
Those types of relationships.
Yeah, or even your friends or cell group leaders. A big one is just to learn to love God. If you can't do that, what makes you think that you're ready to love another soul on the intimacy level of an exclusive relationship? And I know that sounds harsh, but the only way that you can truly learn to love well is learning from the creator of love and the person who first loved us through sending his son Jesus to die on a cross for us.
That's good. So if we told you that there was someone special out there for you, right? Who would love you unconditionally, give their life for you, serve you, listen to you whenever you wanted to talk, hold you whenever you had nothing to say, laugh with you, cry with you, respect you, just love you deeply, who wanted to know everything about you and none of the deepest, darkest things that you had ever done, turned them away. If that person existed, most of you would say, sign me up.
Yeah.
Like, where are they at? Christian Mingle? Like, where do I, you ever been?
Farmers Only?
FarmersOnly.com, right? That person, though, actually exists, and his name is Jesus. And the love that we find in a relationship with him is the only love that can actually truly make us whole.
For sure, yeah. And I would say that the goal of this is not for all of you to delete your social media, break up with your girlfriend or boyfriend. For some of you, that stuff will naturally happen. And that's because the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that those things are idols in your life. But that's not our goal. Our goal is for you to see that there's one source of true love and fulfillment in this world, and it can only come from God.
Yeah, and there are things all around us, right, that are constantly waging war for our soul. And I think love, sex, and dating is the primary attack mode for Satan in the lives of junior high and high schoolers, probably for the lives of most people, but especially those in 7th to 12th grade. And so what we're encouraging all of us to do is just to acknowledge that, and in doing so, to fix our eyes on Jesus and not the things of this world. Because when you choose to follow Jesus first, you tend to have a lot more peace walking into a dating relationship, because your worth is not in that relationship or how that relationship turns out, because relationships can only turn out two ways, right? Either you get married or you break up. Those are literally the only options. And so when you have this foundation of a relationship with Christ, you can walk into any relationship with a human being with a lot more peace and confidence, because your worth is found in him.
Yeah. So we've been rambling for a while.
We like to ramble.
Yeah. We gave a lot of information. So to end, let's give some practicals. Let's ask three questions.
Yep. And so these three questions can be found on that handout that's attached to this podcast. So if you haven't downloaded that yet, now would be a great time. But if you've been following along, you'll see them on there.
Yeah. And so we would challenge you to talk to a parent or a cell group leader about the following questions. Number one, how have I experienced the love of God in this season? And list out a few things. Number two, how could I love my family and friends better in this season? And number three, what are some things that are getting too much of my love and affection and are pulling me away from God? This is such a cool season that we're in, of being stuck at home all the time, of what does it look like to be intentional in this season? How have I seen God love me in this season? And we're able to really get a close-up view of what is getting too much of our love and affection because we are stuck in this almost controlled environment.
Awesome. All right, let's end with this, okay? I've got the questions. You've got a lot of the content. Let me give you one more verse. If you got your Bibles and want to look at it, great. It's John 13:35. And it says this, And again, this is Jesus speaking. He says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. And here it is. Here's how they'll know. If you have love for one another. So people are going to know that we are Christians, that we follow the one true God by the way that we love each other. And that's not just in dating relationships. That's not what we're talking about. But the way that we love people. Because the way that we love is going to be one of the best ways that we have to show the love of God to this world. And so, FSM, kids, leaders, parents, whoever's listening, let's do that well. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, who taught us how to love, who showed us the greatest example by coming to this earth. So, we love you guys. This has been fun. Caroline, you're awesome.
Thanks, Hunter. You're okay.
Thank you so much. See ya.